If this bomb, hurtling down through the cool morning air from the belly of an enemy plane, exploded here in San Francisco, you'd need help.
Yes, and you'd need plenty of it, too, brother. Yeah, I mean you, sitting there in the kitchen this nice Saturday morning, waiting for the wife to put the breakfast on the table. But let me tell you something, chum. There is a bomb on your doorstep right now, just waiting to explode and knock your safe little world right into a cocked hat. All right, don't smirk like that. I mean it. You don't believe me, huh? Then suppose you go out to the front door and take a look for yourself. I'm not kidding, brother. There's a bomb out there. Go ahead, take a look. I'll wait for you. In fact, I'll give you about 15 seconds to go out and get that bomb off your front doorknob. Or send one of the kids out there to bring it in if you're scared. Go ahead, I'm waiting. Get it yet? You didn't. Well, look now, I told you I wasn't fooling. Go on. Ah, that's better. You did get it this time, huh? Well, look, chum. You'd better be mighty glad that that was just a paper bomb hanging on your front doorknob instead of the real McCoy. Now, turn that bomb over and take a look at the back of it. You see what it says there?
It happened in Russia.
Since the Nazi monster turned on Russia in June 1941 and drove the steel wedge of mechanized total war into the heart of the Soviet Union, 10 million Russians have died. Not alone the soldiers and airmen of Russia, but the people of Russia, the little people, defenseless against the most brutal warfare in all history, defenseless against poverty, disease, starvation, and all the horrible cruelties that follow in the wake of war. 10 million Russians have died in the fight to preserve their freedom.
Yes, 10 million Russians have paid the price, the highest price possible for liberty. People just like you and your family. The Russians are still unbeaten on the battlefield. Gradually, they're pushing the Nazi monster back to the lair from which it came. But that doesn't alter the fact that 10 million men, women, and children are dead in Russia. Millions of them might have been saved had there been food, medicine, clothing, and warmth against the bitter cold of the Russian winter. Millions more will die this year unless those things are provided. Without your help, they are helpless. If they die needlessly, their blood will be on your head. Just remember, it did happen in Russia.
Well, how does that make you feel, chum? I hope it doesn't spoil your breakfast thinking about those 10 million who'll never eat another breakfast. Just don't forget that you can do something about saving the Russians who are still alive. Now, take a look at the next item on that bomb, will you?
It happened in Greece.
Greece, the ancient home of world culture, ravaged and torn by the Nazi war machine, is today a nation of ghosts. With diabolical cunning, her conquerors have carried on a program of planned starvation ever since they overran the little country. Her people die in the streets, their bodies emaciated, their gaunt faces and sightless eyes turned to the soft blue Grecian skies as if pleading for the help that never came. Gallant little Greece is dying. The appalling horror of her fate is made plain in one fact. 19 out of every 20 children born in Greece die of starvation. 19 out of every 20.
This is what a Greek refugee who escaped to Egypt tells about his country in a letter. I have seen the Greek people drop dead on the streets like autumn leaves because of lack of food. In my own village, people killed their mules. With some, rats have become a delicacy. The only food is that which comes on the mercy ships through the generosity of the American people. It is the only help we expect to have until our hour of liberation comes. And until that hour comes, 19 out of every 20 children born in Greece will die unless the American people do send food to the helpless, stricken Greeks. Greece must live. You can help save her.
That's not a pretty thought either, is it, brother? Look at your own kids and then ask yourself what you'd do to save them from starvation. Almost anything, wouldn't you? Remember that. All right, what's the next item on the inventory of death?
It happened in China.
Through the long years of war that China has waged to save her land from the aggressor, 50 million of her people have been made homeless, and 2 million of her children are now orphaned. Think of that. 50 million human beings driven out of their homes to wander over the broad face of China, in constant peril, suffering unparalleled miseries, starving, without clothing. 2 million children without parents or families.
China.
That is China today, as the war goes on.
To feel the crushing weight of Japanese imperialism still fights on. But each year her strength wanes. Each year, millions more of her patient people are driven from their homes or slaughtered by the thousands under the swords and guns that are trying to spread the Nipponese New Order in Asia. Those helpless millions are our allies. They're fighting our war, too. The bombs that have been dropping for years on her soil and on her people are real bombs, wiping out centuries of culture, the fruits of centuries of toil. And today, 50 million Chinese, 2 million orphans, look to us for life as the guns roar.
Yes, maybe you think you've got troubles, brother, but you've got a home to live in, food to eat, clothes to wear, schools for the kids. But don't forget there are 50 million Chinese who haven't got any of those things, and they're still in their pitching. Just mull that over for a minute, and let's have another look at the list.
It happened in Britain.
Real bombs fell on Britain, too. Hundreds of thousands of tons of them. And when the rubble was cleared away after the most pulverizing bombardment ever rained on any country, one home in every five was either damaged or destroyed completely. In Britain, too, thousands were made homeless. Thousands were killed. More thousands injured and left destitute. But the fight is not over. The bombings go on. More homes will be destroyed. The toll of dead, injured, homeless, and destitute will continue to mount until the last gun is fired. Under the stress of wartime emergency, Britain must have help. You can. You must help to save Britain from utter demoralization.
Listen, brother. The tide has turned for Britain, all right. We know that. But don't forget that one home in every five over there has been wrecked by real bombs. If you want to know what that means, just look out the window at the house across the street and figure how it would look all blown to smithereens. Or better still, take a look at your own place and think about the same thing. Maybe yours would be the one in five if real bombs came down here in San Francisco. You'd need help if that happened, and pronto, wouldn't you? Well, just remember that, too.
It happened in Poland.
It happened in France. In the Netherlands.
In Yugoslavia.
In Czechoslovakia.
In Norway, Belgium, and Luxembourg.
Yes, chum, it happened in all those places. And just hiding your head in the sand like an ostrich isn't going to change the fact that you've got a job to do for those people. Yeah, I know you've got to think about your own family first. But if you were on the other end of this deal, you'd be a pretty sad character if nobody came around to put you back on your feet. In plain English, if that bomb you found planted on your doorknob this morning had exploded, you wouldn't be sitting there listening right now. They'd be digging you and the family out of the wreckage. And you'd have to have clothes and food and medicine and a bed and plenty of help all around. All right, get off the dime then and see that your friends overseas who did get bombed get that help from you.
You can give them that help by subscribing to your San Francisco War Chest today.
Hey, now, just a minute. Look, I'm perfectly willing to give anybody a lift if I can afford it. But I just got through paying some more taxes. I'm buying war bonds. Prices are going up, and I...
You can't afford not to subscribe to your local war chest this year more than ever, my friend.
Oh, now, don't get me wrong. I'm going to subscribe, all right, just as I always have. But here in San Francisco, times are better than they ever have been. And I can't see why we have to have as much money as we used to for chest agencies.
Let me explain the whole war chest picture for you in a few brief words. I think you'll see it pretty plainly when I do.
Well, sure, go ahead.
As a matter of fact, the San Francisco War Chest needs more funds this year than ever before, because the scope of its work is far broader than it ever has been. It will take nearly $4 million raised right here in the city to put over the program that must be carried out if we are to keep faith with our allies abroad and our needy at home. Here are a few of the organizations that will benefit from your War Chest dollars this year.
Service to the Armed Forces.
The United Service Organizations, United Seamen Service, War Prisoners Aid.
United Nations Relief.
To Russia, to China, Britain, Greece, Poland, France, to Belgium, Holland, Norway, Czechoslovakia, and Yugoslavia.
Refugee relief.
To care for United Nations refugees and children evacuated from war zones.
17 war relief agencies in all. Part of your contribution to your San Francisco war chest discharges your sacred obligation to our allies who have been smashed by the Axis war machines.
Sure, I see that, and it's fine. But what about the home front this year?
72 local agencies benefit directly from your same contribution. And don't think for one minute that high wages and plenty of work for all has eliminated the problems that have always confronted the chest. Instead, there are new problems to cope with as well as the old ones.
Yes? In what way?
Well, first of all, let's take the case of a handicapped person whose income has always been so limited that in normal times he had to have community chest aid to get by. What do you think happens to a person like that when prices of everything have gone up and his income is not increased?
Oh, yes, I see what you mean. But are there very many people like that?
As many as there ever were, and their problem is greater than it ever has been. Increased wartime wages are no boon to folks like that. And your dollars contributed to the war chest are their only salvation.
Yeah, I guess so. Now, what are some of the other things you mentioned?
Well, let's put it this way. The hope of America lies with its children. You know as well as I do what crowded living conditions in San Francisco and the stress of wartime work for parents is doing to our children. The standards of child welfare and health have always been high in San Francisco, but they won't continue to be unless the agencies, supported wholly or in part by your chest contributions, continue to function, and on a broader scale than ever. Look at it this way, my friend. You are helping to build the future of your home city, the future of America, and the future of a civilized, democratic world when you give our children the care they deserve and must have.
I guess I never thought about it like that.
Well, then, too, speaking of health, chest agencies provided nearly a 500,000 clinical examinations and treatments last year that wouldn't have been possible without the war chest. There'll be many more this year. It's that kind of service that keeps San Francisco healthy and in fighting trim. One of the biggest dangers of overcrowded living conditions is the spread of contagious disease. Your war chest dollars can and will prevent epidemics in San Francisco.
This whole thing is a lot bigger than I thought, I guess. I never really stopped to think just where my contribution went. I just figured it went to help our poor people. I didn't think there were so many of them anymore.
Well, it's impossible for me to tell you in detail about everything the war chest accomplishes, of course. But just remember this when you start to write your check. 17 war relief agencies and 72 local health and welfare agencies share that check. So make it as big as you can and put your San Francisco war chest over the top.
You see what we mean, folks? That little paper bomb you found on your front doorknob this morning is just our way of reminding you that you've got a job to do for your city and for humanity, and incidentally, for yourself. No, maybe no real bombs will ever get dumped on us around here, but all the destruction in a war isn't caused by bombs either. Plenty of it is caused by the guy that says, what do I care what happens to old Joe Doakes? I'm looking out for myself. That kind of a bird usually winds up by hollering for help when he gets in a jam. So all I say is, just remember that bomb you found this morning and what it stands for when somebody from the San Francisco war chest comes around for your contribution. Remember it and dig down deep, brother.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like you to meet two of the hundreds of bombardiers who put that war chest bomb on your doorstep this morning. Meet a representative San Francisco Boy Scout, Earl Lowert of Troop 31. Did you have a good time planting the bombs this morning, Earl?
I sure did, Mr. Heide. And I'm sure tickled to death it was us and not any Jap planes that did the bombing, too.
And so am I, Earl.
All I have to say is that I sure hope the folks who found our bombs and listened to this program will really do something about it when the San Francisco War Chest campaign starts on Monday.
I'm sure they will, Max. San Francisco is used to doing big jobs. Ladies and gentlemen, this special program was presented by the radio industry of San Francisco in behalf of the 1943 San Francisco War Chest. Remember the chest slogan, give once a year for home front, for war front, and give all you can. Appearing on this program were Frank Cope, Austin Fenger, Len Curley, Jim Bullitt, Hugh Turner, and yours truly, Bud Heide.